Achiyami, we are going to be learning together today Mizmor Kuf Chavtes, the 129th Psalm of the Book of Tehillim, and the topic for today is the end of the enemies. This is, in fact, our 10th Shir HaMa'alos, and it is 8 psukim long and divided into roughly 2 sections. Each section is 4 psukim. The first 4 psukim are about the suffering and the salvation from enemies, and the second half from He to Ches about cursing those who hated Tzion, who hated Zion. In terms of the actual theme of this mizmor, there these two equal sections seem to parallel each other to a certain degree. The first section looks back at earlier times, talking in a past tense. Rabas tzeraruni minu urai. There were many who afflicted me from my youth. Yomar na Yisrael. The second section seems to be looking forward in the future for a hopeful time in the future. Yevoishu v'yisoygu achor kol sonei tzion. Let them be embarrassed. Let they be pushed backwards, those who hate Zion. So it seems to be looking backwards and forwards with a hope to the future. Hashem is not evoked directly, but he is mentioned in the first section, but not in the second section. It seems that the second section is evoking a larger curse on the Rishayim, on the evildoers, and Hashem is not brought into that, perhaps not associating Hashem's name with a curse of that degree. It's interesting to notice who the victim and the hater are in this mizmor. In the first section, the victim seems to be Yisrael, and the tsar is those who are tsiraruni, those who hurt me, who afflicted me from my youth. In the second section, the victim is Tzion, Zion, and the hater are those who are sonei Tzion, those who hate Zion. It's interesting, this should be familiar in terms of today's political landscape, where people will often say, no, we don't hate Jews, we hate Israel. And that narrative, of course, holds very little water, and it's becoming evident and more evident today that ultimately just hating Tzion, hating Yerushalayim, hating Zion, hating the country of Israel is a very thin veneer for the true hate that it expresses, which is the hate of Israel in its form, because the same people who do this ultimately will hurt, maim, and even kill Jews, no matter where they come from or what they represent. It's interesting that the end of the mizmor ends with a double bracha. Lo yomru ha'ovrim birkas Hashem aleichem. That the bracha that not be said about them, the bracha of Hashem. But beirachnu eschem b'shem Hashem. That ultimately there will be a bracha. So it talks about the bracha that the sonei Tzion do not get and the bracha that we do get. An interesting part of the theme, which was also parallel to a mizmor which is all just a few days ago, is the agricultural theme. In the first section, the attack on Israel is described as plowing. Al gabi chorshu chorshim. On my back, they plowed. The plowers are plowing herichu l'man yisam, so making these deep furrows. In the second section, the attack is compared to harvesting and gathering. Rat sheloi milei chapoi kotzer v'chitznoi ma'amer. So it's the way that the enemies treat Israel seems to be the ones making bereft, taking away from the nation of Israel with the agricultural metaphor and motif. This could be very fascinating to consider in the following context. And that is that if you look at this mizmor as a continuation of the previous mizmor, mizmor Kuf Chav Ches, which talks about the beautiful Jewish family, where it talks about the metaphors there are one's spouse, one's wife, is this Geffen Poriah, this flowering vine, and the children are Kishsile Zesim, these olive saplings. Then in a certain sense, the plowing and the cutting down and the gathering as the enemies are doing might be a veiled attack on the Jewish family itself. So these descriptions in agricultural terms of cutting down might be reflecting that. And you know, that makes a lot of sense because one of the attacks is on sonei Tzion, those who hate Zion, which was specifically what the previous mizmor was talking about on the national scale. The previous mizmor was describing how Urei Betuv Yerushalayim Kol Yemei Chayecha, that a person who will be blessed personally with her family and nationally with Yerushalayim being restored. And the Tzaruni, those who are now hurting me, and Sonei Tzion, who hate Zion, are the ones attacking on the personal and the public scale in this mizmor. Let's take a look at the events behind this mizmor. So we've seen throughout the Shir HaMa'alos that many of the Shir HaMa'alos fit into a number of patterns, and a lot of them do reflect themselves in this mizmor as well. So as an example, we've seen that the Shir HaMalos could have been something which was said at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, at the Aliyah L'Regel, specifically at Sukkos. And that makes a lot of sense, because going back to the agricultural hangovers and perspectives, this is the time in the agricultural cycle where people have just put down their sickles, they've been able to harvest, gather, put things into the granaries even, and this has been a successful year. So coming in after that, that's perhaps why these metaphors are used too. It could also fit into the idea of the national Golus and Geula idea. Ibn Ezra says that this is said by the nation of Israel, who looked at their back at their all the terrible things that have happened throughout the Golus, and they look forward to hopefully the redemption, the Mashiach Tzidkenu. And the Radak and the Dat Mikra make another suggestion. It could be even during the tenure of Bayis Rishon, where we talk about this during the first Bayis HaMikdash, in which the enemies were not just the non-Jews, it was the Jews themselves. There were those who are Sonei Tzion, those who hated Zion, who are from the northern kingdom. Why do they hate Tzion? Because they thought that they needed political control, and therefore Zion was seen as an interruption. Tzion was seen as a defector from their power, and therefore they built their own way, places of worship, ultimately breaking off from Klal Yisrael to a certain degree. And that's perhaps what we see over here, and that's really resonates today, that there are unfortunately Marsayich, that the some of our greatest destroyers, Mimech Yetzeyu, are the ones who come out of ourselves, and the Jews who hate Zion perhaps more than even the Zion haters from the outside, unfortunately, is a reality that we see on a day-to-day basis. I'd like to add one more point in terms of the events behind this Mizmor, and that's the very powerful Midrash, which is at the beginning of this Mizmor. The Midrash says the following. It gives the example that if you can imagine a person who has a cow, a very special cow to them, and they lend it out to their neighbor, and the neighbor, instead of just using it normally, he lets his 10 sons use it. And each son uses it and abuses it and overworks it. And then just as it was about to get rest, the next son takes it and abuses it and reuses it. And when the owner of the cow finds out about this, he doesn't go and starts quibbling and arguing and how could you. What he just simply does is he walks into the property, he breaks the plow, he rips off the ropes and the harness, and he takes the cow back. Says the Midrash, that's what's going on in our Mizmor. If you look very carefully in our Mizmor, that's exactly the story that's being told. The person describes, Rabos tzerurin menorai, gam lo yochluli. Israel's been sent into Golus, Israel's in exile, and one after next, different iterations, different countries, different people who speak languages, whether it be the Knights Templar who speak French, or the Spanish Catholics who speak Spanish, or whether it be the Polish Cossacks, or the Russian Bolsheviks, or the German Nazis, or the Islamic terrorists, or the white supremacists, all of them. And one after the other, abuse and abuse and abuse. And at a certain point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu walks in, and when Mashiach comes, and what does he do? He says, Hashem Tzadik Kitzetz Avois Rishoim. He's going to come in, and he's going to cut the ropes of the Rishoim in Pasuk Dalet. He's going to take away the yoke that was unduly placed on our backs, and that's what this Mizmor is talking about, is ultimately that coming of Mashiach. Let's consider the places in our tefillah. It appears that actually this Mizmor does not appear in our tefillah wholesale. But one pasuk in the spotlight we're going to look at is pasuk Gimel, Al Gabi Chorshu Chorshim Herichu Lamani Yisom. The plowmen plowed across my back. They made long furrows. What's this referring to? What's the plowing metaphor supposed to be expressing over here? So the Malbim says the idea is that there's no stronghold that was safe for us. Throughout Jewish history, sometimes you think if you have the high ground, you can be safe. Well, we never had a high ground because they simply plowed through everything. Our enemies took no refuge or sanctuary. Our holiest of places, even their holiest of places, the churches that the Jews hid in during the Crusades, were not enough of a protection. They plowed through everything. That's the metaphor that's being described over here. However, the Gemara in Sota says a very powerful thing. The Gemara appears on Sota Yud Aleph and Beis, and it says that in Mitzrayim, Rav Avira explained that Bishar Noshim Sidkonios Shoyboy Sador Nigolu Yisrael Mimitzrayim. It was because of the righteous woman that we were redeemed from Egypt. Why? Because Paro made a decree that all the male sons would be killed, and the husbands decided, what's the point of having children if ultimately they're all going to be destroyed? So what happened? They were being broken from the work. It was too difficult. So what ended up happening? The women would entice their husbands. They would beautify themselves. They would go out to the fields. They would bathe their husbands. They would talk to them, and they would encourage them to have children with them. When they would actually have children, they would have to go out into the fields to avoid persecution from the Egyptians, and they would have them underneath the apple trees in the in the orchards, and an angel would come and take care of these children. But the Egyptians, it says, were suspect that something was going on, and they would send out these guards to go plow the fields for the children which were buried or hiding in the undergrowth, to go kill those children. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that in this, Al Gabi Charshu Charshim, on my back the plowers plowed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would save them and bury them in a way that they would not be able to be hurt. What does this Gemara mean? Obviously, it's not meaning literally, but what does the Gemara actually mean? So the Klei Yakar over there on Bereshis Chof Ches says that when Avraham Avinu is praised and given the blessing that his children would be like Afar Ha'aretz, like the dust of the earth, what it means to say is that just like the dust of the earth, when you plow it, it's not destroyed. It's simply a furrow is created within it. The sand parts, but then regroups after it's plowed. Similarly is the story of Jewish history. In Jewish history, there are many times where people put deep plows into our backs to cut us and to slice us and to hurt us deeply. And the truth is, we did hurt, but we just parted at times and then we regrouped afterwards. We were like sand that would not be permanently hurt, permanently destroyed. We're like sand which would regroup around the blades that cut us throughout history. And that's a very powerful mashal which the Gemara seems to be conveying, which is based on the pasuk in our Mizmor, which is Al Gabi Chorshu Chorshim. We should not know any more plows during Jewish history. We should be able to see the salvation b'mheirav yameinu. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.